Okay, so we had a slight delay. Sorry to the audience on the internet. We had to do some tests with François's HDSP card. Unfortunately, it did not quite work the way we expected. So for part of your talk, we will have no sound. Oh, we have no sound at all from the notebook. But still, I think most of your talk will be textual information anyway. So this is François Deschelles. My excuse, before we ended the last session, I said it's about JMAX and MSP. Sorry, not MSP, it's about JMAX and Open Music. We're talking about free software here. So sorry for that. François, go ahead.
Thank you. It's okay? Hello, so I'm going to present some EarCam free software, JMAX and Open Music. First, a tour of EarCam free software. EarCam free software is JMAX, Open Music, and SDIF. SDIF is in fact a library to access a sound file format used to store and retrieve audio analysis data. So I won't present it here. I will present some recent developments on JMAX and Open Music. A little bit of history. JMAX was GPL'd in 1999. It was in fact EarCam's first free software, and Open Music was released under the same license 1 year after. Now there's a free software team at EarCam, and I am in charge of this team. So I'm the promoter of free software both inside EarCam and of EarCam free software, and I'm in charge of coordinating the free software development at EarCam, and we are partners of the AGNULA project that will be presented in the next talk. What is JMAX? JMAX is in fact just another implementation of MAX, the software that was developed at EarCam by Miller Puckett some time ago, and which is in fact implemented in at least three incarnations: MAX MSP on the Macintosh, PD by Miller, and JMAX. JMAX is quite different in the sense that it uses a really, a slightly different architectural approach. By this I mean that there's a complete separation between the GUI, which is based on Java, and the audio engine, which is named FTS, for Faster Than Sound. That's a name that was invented by Miller. I can tell you in private what this name means, really. And this audio engine is, of course, written in C for efficiency. It means that there is no DSP which is done in Java. In fact, FTS is not really an engine. In fact, it's a library. And this eases a lot the development of a few things that I will show you, namely JMAX plus check, JMAX inside a LATSPA plugin. So JMAX plus Jack, how does it run? In fact, the FTS scheduler, what does FTS do? FTS is in fact a kind of stream processing engine that processes MIDI, external events, and samples. And it is based on a scheduler that does block processing, as most audio applications do. But the scheduler can be called, in fact, on either on a push model, that is you grab data from the audio card, you process them and then you push them out, or it can be called on a callback based. The need for a callback based engine is first core audio on macOS 10, it was historically the first application of this model, and of course Jack, but also it can be used to make it run inside a plugin, and the configuration panel allows you to connect to already running application. What I have here is a JMAX connected to Jack with the ALSA player, so I'm sorry but we have no sound, but at least I can show you how it works. When I open the JMAX configuration, I have for the audio labels or audio input-output buses, input ports and output ports to which the bus is hooked. And I can I have a choice, which are in fact all the jack ports. And here I can connect to the ALSA player output. And for instance, if I play something with the ALSA player, I will see the output in the scope object. Same thing for the output. Here I can select the jack port, for instance, the ALSA PCM ports, but we're not playing right now. What's that? I'm lost. Okay. Not related to this question of callback, there is now a LATSPA object in JMAX which allows you to use a LATSPA plugin inside a patch. This object is called LATSPA tilde because it's a DSP object, and it, it loads a plugin and allows to control the plugin by providing inlets for the plugin ports. Let me show you rapidly how it works. I won't use the boat shifter. Yeah, that's, well, no, not this one. Okay, so you have the LATSPA collection, which is a list of plugins that can be found inside the plugin object. And you can choose plugin by index in the collection. Here is the list of plugin. Here is the information on the plugin, and you can here we simply have a sine wave generated here. I can change the frequency. And here I can change the input parameter of a plugin, which is the amplitude. So we have a nice gain control. Next stuff, to be able to run a patch inside LATSPA plugin. In fact, as soon as you're able to run a patch, which is run in fact inside the FTS scheduler, inside the jack callback, you can run it either as an in-process client for jack, which is not ready yet, but which would be very easy. But you can also run this inside a plugin. That's, you build a patch and it will run inside as a LATSPA plugin, so you can run it in fact inside any application using LATSPA. In fact, it's very recent development, so it's not completely finished. It works for audio, but there are no control ports yet. The way we would do the hook between the control ports of a plugin and the object inside the patch is not completely clear right now. In JMAX, you have control buses that can send and receive values. And probably what we're thinking of is to generate automatically the ports of the declaration of the plugin ports from the buses of the patch. What happens, in fact, is that when the patch is loaded, there's some kind of analysis of the patch content, and that generates automatically a descriptor of a plugin that can be used after. And the patch is, in fact, loaded during the plugin instantiate. So I must do a patch. I'll do something very simple, probably. And the audio input and outputs are in fact just the audio ports of a plugin are the audio inputs and outputs of the patch. Here we put just an output. I just do two sine waves. can connect them to the output. I save my patch, and I must save it just in a directory that is in the latspa path. That's here. I'll call it sign2.jmax. Okay, and now I will apply this plugin. In fact, there's a small hack. I can't use the current apply plugin because the JMAX Latspa plugin, which is DL opened by all Latspa hosts, in turn does a DL open of all the FTS packages, the object libraries. But the object libraries are not currently linked against the FTS library, which means that there are some problem of not unresolved symbols. So I did a small hack in the apply plugin. An input file. The name of the plugin is the plugin file is in JMAX Latspa. Well, the plugin label is the name of a patch, and that's something also that could be extracted from the patch, for instance, either by using some special objects or by giving some internal values. And I must give a gain. Ah, yeah. Does not work. Yeah, that's a bug that I haven't fixed. I found that last Thursday, and for some reason that I haven't checked out yet, the scheduler, which runs inside the callback, blocks. In fact, the processing the input file waits. And can't you tell exactly why? I'll try. It may be related to the fact, no, that in fact another FTS is running, which means that another the FTS scheduler running inside the Latspa plugin, in fact, is not really clean now, in the sense that it opens a socket to listen from the message from the Java GUI, which is clearly something which is not optimal inside a plugin. So let's do the usual incantations. Touch some wood. No. Bon. Bad luck. Well, it used to work before. Sorry. And something which is even more in an alpha state, if it's possible, is the idea of developing other GUI for JMAX. And in particular, trying to develop something using Python and GTK. There are two motivations for that. Well, in fact, three motivations. First one, was tricked by consideration from the Agnula partners that Java is not free, so it will not be packaged inside the Agnula distributions, so we have to replace it. Second point is that probably Python is better for prototyping and scripting easily small graphical user interface. And third point is that even if it's not Python, you can think of using replacing the Java GUI by something that is more dedicated to the patch that you want to control, and that you would like to develop that using the language of your choice, and maybe even make it that GUI run inside a web browser, for instance. And that is in fact quite easy, well, easy, not that much, but it's not so complicated because of the architecture of JMax, with this idea that you have two processes and you have two components in a classical client architecture model, where the server is the audio engine and the client is the Java GUI, but can be any program that uses this protocol. And the protocol between both is very simple. In fact, it just carries int, float, strings, and objects. Objects as object IDs, just integers. It's efficient with respect to memory allocation, and that's very important if you have Java on one side, because you don't want to have objects to be created each time you receive a message from the server inside the Java GUI. And this protocol can use either a socket or a pipe, or it may run inside MIDI CSX, for instance, if you want to. On top of this protocol, in fact, a client never accesses directly the protocol, but accesses a client library that is currently implemented in both Java, C++, and Python. And writing some Python code to connect something to FTS is quite simple. You just create an instance of the FTS server. You create a connection. And then you create objects using this connection, giving the name of the FTS class, and then you can send messages to the objects. And that's for the communication from the client to the server. The opposite can be done in different ways. If you use Java and C++, you install message handlers. And in fact, if you're using Python, and that's why Python is cool, in fact, you call directly the method of the destination object by name. So I won't show it, it's really too buggy, and I don't want to be ridiculous once more. So I will move to Open Music with the hope that it works better. Well, it may, because I was not involved in this development. What is Open Music? Well, it's something completely different. It's still a visual programming environment, but it's not for real time. It's not a kind of data-driven model, in the sense that events or data arrives and are processed as soon as they arrive. It's on the contrary something that is demand-driven. That is, you ask for the output of something, and to get this output, you evaluate a graph, and it happens that you get the output. It's completely icon-oriented. It uses completely drag-and-drop. It has a number of visual control structures that are mapped to Lisp control structures. And it provides classes and libraries for music composition. Some concepts of Open Music: you have still patches, programmation units, you have classes, prototype for objects. And two things: classes are associated often with graphical editors, and once you put a class in a patch, it becomes in fact a factory that will build new objects. Then you have functions on method, Lisp, and you have maquettes, which are a special kind of patch with a time dimension, which means that you will have objects, but which will be conditionally evaluated during the patch evaluation. Well, let me show you how it works. Okay. First, I start it. And you will notice that it's Lisp. Now, and then you have the workspace. The workspace is a folder containing patches and folders and packages. Packages are just like Java packages. First example, I'm going to show you, in fact, two things, how it looks and the way you do functional programming in a graphical environment and the way you do recursion in a graphical environment. First, I create a new patch, this one. Okay, in a patch, you can either have inputs and outputs. You will notice a number of graphical bugs. It's very early version. And then you can put functions. For instance, I will put a plus, which means that I must add a second input. Then I will connect outputs to inputs. Oops. Okay. And now, how do I make this patch work? Then I must make an instance of this patch. So I create another patch. Which one? Patch 2, probably. Yeah, this one. So I drag the first patch inside the second one. I have two inputs and the outputs. I must keep the listener something to show that something is happening when I evaluate a patch. To evaluate it, in fact, a patch is simply a function, or we'd say in Lisp, a functional expression. That is, when you want the return value of this functional expression, you must pass arguments to it. The way to pass arguments is to create values for the inputs, for instance, 1, and for the second input, for instance, 2. And then I ask to evaluate the patch, and it says here, you will notice that it says that its value is 3. Well, okay. But now we can use this patch not as a graphical bug, not as a function, but as a functional expression. So I make this small button appear, and I will say that this patch is a lambda expression, that is an anonymous function. And then I will use the well-known Lisp function mapcar. Mapcar is a function that takes a number of lists and that applies a functional expression to each element of the list. That is, if you have a function that takes 2 arguments, you must pass 2 lists to mapcar that will take the first element of each list, call the function, and do that again until one of the lists exhausts. But now I must pass this mapcar a functional expression. First, I have a plus, so I must add an input, yeah, that's it, to mapcar. I must give it some input values. The graphical connections are not redrawn, but that's a graphical bug. And then I pass the functional expression. And then if I evaluate now, I told you. And then, okay. Yeah, that's it. So you have 1 plus 3, 4, and 2 plus 4, 6. Second thing, well, try to show that briefly, how you do recursion. This batch will try to give it a name. To do recursion, what you try to program the first recursive function, that is the factorial. So you must multiply. You must multiply something by I told you that there are some graphical bugs. Oh, it's fun. It's fun, you know. And you must multiply what? You must multiply the input value by the value of the factorial function for the input value minus 1. So I say minus. Once again, yeah, and to get this function, I just instantiate the patch that I am currently defining inside itself. Yeah, it has no output yet. So here it is. And of course, I must add a condition. And condition is you put a test, which is a predicate. You say if it's greater than, well, you try to say if it's greater than, yeah, greater than what? Greater than 1. Okay. If input is greater than 1, then it's almost finished. No, it's not like that. And finally, an if, that's control, if. Well, once more. Okay, but the if must have an extra input. if it's greater than 1, then I ask for this. Otherwise, I say 1. It's not that clear, maybe. The graphical bugs make it not that easy to understand. I'll try to... Okay, well, more or less looks like that. And now, just to test it, I hope that it works and I haven't made any error. I drag a patch inside a new window. I just provide an input value, and if, well, it says nil, which is normal because it's Lisp. Maybe it's better like that. Yeah, now it says 120, which is better for factorial 5. So that's Lisp functional programming. Well, tell me, well, okay, what can you do with that? A lot of things. First, you have number of editors, and this is not currently available in the Linux version. This is available in the Macintosh version, but it's under development, so it will be available soon. You have editors for musical notation. That's a patch. The editors can be seen either as separate window or as inside the object. That's another editor for chords. And you have maquettes. And inside the maquette, you have objects. Here it's a sound file. And you have connections between the objects, which means that the evaluation of this object will require this object, which looks like in the future compared to this one. That's another view of the same maquette with different views of the objects. This environment is used by a number of composers. It's clearly something that is not for real time, but for, would say, algorithmic composition. But also it can be used, for instance, in musical analysis, things like that. Some words about the developments. The base platform is Macintosh with Digitool Macintosh Common Lisp. The Linux port was done at Universidad Javeriana in Colombia by Gerardo Saria and Jose Diago, who are currently at IRCAM for 6 months to complete this porting. This port was based on Open Music version 3.5 and uses currently Gmail on University Common Lisp. A few words about the graphical layer that is clearly not complete. It's in fact the implementation of the Macintosh Common Lisp graphical toolkit on top of GTK. So it uses C bindings and it's not complete, and there may be also some license issues that we're trying to sort out. And there are a number of things to do. Merge with the current Macintosh code and put it under, well, it's now in CVS. Add an audio layer so that you can play sound files. Also add some precise scheduling for maquettes. Add the MIDI layer. Well, what you can do in Open Music, that you can record and play MIDI sequences that you have either edited or created by a patch. On Macintosh, the current version uses MIDI share. And to finish some websites for JMAX, JMAX on SourceForge, Open Music, and Open Music, which is now on SourceForge, but not the version, the Linux version, the Macintosh version, and we'll merge into it the Linux version very soon. Well, I guess I'm over. Thanks for your attention. Sorry for the problems. And if you have some questions now.
Okay, so questions? There is one up here.
Hi. Just for the understanding, this maquette settings, setups, possibilities, that's like conditional MIDI file or conditional WAV files? So
yeah.
I can connect
yeah,
them.
Yeah, something like that.
Like event-based? Is that some... How deep but, is this? This
but it's also timed patches that you can... In a maquette, you can put patch, and the semantic is that this patch will be evaluated with a special input value that is time. So that you can have, for instance, something that either triggers a different processing depending on the time where it is placed, or even instantiate a new patch, for instance, or instantiate a new object probably in the future. And something, well, I don't know exactly the details of Open Music. Just I have a first view of it. I would say the maquette is a kind of computed sequence, and computed sequence that can contain computation elements that are triggered with a time value, that gets its time value, and that can modify the future of a sequence.
Okay, and it can detect like musical settings and stuff. I can use it for that?
You can, sorry.
Detect like musical settings like chords or certain modes,
yeah.
Like for this,
yeah.
For
yeah.
algorithmic
yeah.
music.
Yeah, some person at YourCam developed some kind of genetic or generative algorithm that can analyze the input, mm-hmm. MIDI, and that can generate some kind of automatic accompaniment, and that can even continue playing on the same style.
Cool. So you have like ornaments that change alongside
yeah.
you play.
Yeah.
That's cool, really.
Oh, one more question from Paul.
François, I know you get tired of me asking this question once a year, but do you think there's any, is there any sign, are we moving any closer or further away to any possible integration of things that are done with Max and things done with JMAX?
It's possible. What JMAX can load some Max patches that are saved as text files. Problems is that the object set is not the same, but it would be possible to have a compatibility library that you could develop that could emulate or implement at least without the graphical layer of Max objects that can implement at least the same control behavior. Yeah, I think it's possible. It's not that easy. It's kind of a big development because there are a lot of Max objects, and most of them are completely mixed with Macintosh graphical environment. So it's quite complicated. It's quite complicated, and currently, we have not planned to allocate any development resource to do this compatibility library. But it may be useful. My feeling is that it would be better if someone has a number of Max patches that needs to be run inside JMAX to write only the objects that are needed, not to have a general compatibility library.
Okay, one more question. That's Frank Wagnecht.
Thank you. I just a comment to Paul's. I think with the recent introduction of jitter in Max, it is becoming increasingly difficult to emulate Max in JMax, I guess.
Yeah.
So,
probably, yeah.
But my question is, I was always a bit turned off of JMax because of the Java dependencies, and so was turned to PD. So the Python and GTK development is very interesting for me. Is it already available in the ZBS?
Yeah. The Python client library is already there. The Python test client is already there, but there's currently nothing for viewing a patch, at least even viewing it. But it's not, it would say that making something that allows at least to view a patch and control it, I would say something like 1 month development if you know already Python and GTK, because most of the stuff is inside the server. And I was quite glad to hear Paul speaking about model view controller, because it's exactly the way it is done here. That the model is in fact the object that is inside the server, and if you want to get to view an object, you just get informed by the server through the protocol of the state of the object, the coordinates and so on. And if you want to change something, you just send a message to the model and you will be updated after some time.
Okay, so then at this point I'd like to end the question session. Oh, one more? Okay, one more question.
Yeah, my question is if you embed or if you run the FTC server as a plugin, Let's Play plugin, how big is the overhead? So if I'm running 20 JMax instances inside?
Well, I don't think there's a big overhead. What the plugin run function does is only call the FTS scheduler, which will in turn call the DSP processing functions of all the DSP objects inside the patch. And this is compiled as a list of functions. So it will be very close to the time that is needed to execute the patch in real time. Can even think to apply a patch that won't fit in real time. And so I think that the overhead is very small. FTS is a shared library. It, of course, there are the internal data structures of FTS, but it's not that big. I mean, having something like a few megabytes of size when running the FTS process. And you don't need Java. I mean, Java simply is not launched when you run the patch inside a plugin.
Okay, then once again, sorry for this talk being without sound. Francois assured me before that it worked when he came here, so this is a typical Murphy effect. Sorry for that.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you very much, Francois.
Thank you.
And then our next talk will be at about 5 p.m., 6 p.m., so in about 10 minutes, will be about the Agnula project, not as announced by Nicola Bernardini, but by his stand-in and colleague Andrea Glorioso. See you.